Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Living Astrology with host Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and human design consultant, and her co-host, Jason Levanis, intuitive tarot card reader and teacher, as well as feng shui consultant. At Living Astrology Radio, we are committed to empowering people to reach for the stars. Now enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology. I am your host, Janet Hickox. And alongside me, even though he's on another coast, is Jason Levanis. Hello, Jason.
Good evening, my blue-eyed goddess. I'm getting a couple of bleeps and blurps here, so hopefully that will clear up. It's a beautiful, beautiful day here on the East Coast. I don't know what kind of weather you're having over there.
I am having gorgeous weather. It's about 71 and sunny and a little bit breezy, so it doesn't feel too bad today.
Can you get Rachelle out of the, the background feature? I can't seem to click her out into the listening feature, my love. While that's happening, I am so psyched about your Neptune show. I just did a blast on Instagram, and poor Rachelle's texting me in the background going, I can't hear.
So we're having some kind of glitchy thing. Because every time I click her on to listen, it automatically moves her back over to put her on live.
I'm canceling her, and she's texting me, telling me she's calling in.
Very good.
Again. But anyway, okay. Neptune retrograde is really exciting because every time I hear, or we do hear retrograde in the astrological realm, it's always in association with Mercury, and it's almost always about doom and gloom and don't sign this and Jesus Christ don't
so
have
an operation. So it's cringeworthy when we hear the word retrograde.
Yeah.
So,
even retrograde with Venus sometimes, like, ooh, don't get any cosmetic surgery, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's nice to see from your little doodad. I looked at your write-up for today, and I was like, oh, cool. So that would make sense as to why my spidey senses are tingling.
Your spidey senses are tingling. Your intuition is heightened. You may have dreams that are much more potent than usual. You may just have insight into things that you've never had insight to before. Or at the very minimum, just feel like you are firing on some, extrasensory cylinders. And that's all a part of the Mercury. The Neptune retrograde. But before we get into Neptune, and I really had fun with this one today, Jason. You know my penchant now for the mythic characters. I had to go and find out what the hell was going on with Neptune. Before we get there, let's talk about this upcoming full moon, because it is going to be a doozy. As the last couple of moons have been, this one is no exception. The moon falls at 17 degrees across the Cancer and Capricorn axis, which means you are directly affected, right? The moon is at 17 Capricorn. It's not an oh my God. This is actually a pretty good moon, full moon cycle, as you know these things go. The full moon occurs on the West Coast at 9:06 p.m. on July 8th. That means for you, my friend, at 12:06 a.m. on July 9th. So
and
we are again split
moon,
by days.
Does this moon in Capricorn that affects Capricorn and Cancer, is it in a specific house?
Well, in everybody's chart, it will be in a specific house. When I ran the chart, and I use Seattle as my point of reference because I live here, right? Or I live on this West Coast. So for the western part of the United States, at least, Pluto and the moon are in a very tight conjunction, like literally just minutes from one another, on a Capricorn ascendant. So this seems very potent for the West Coast. And of course, all of that is in opposition to the Sun and Mars on the descendant, the opposing point in Cancer. So we have this really interesting energy going on here between the energies of the intuitive, softer, feminine, motherly, nurturing energies of the moon in Capricorn, a sign that's much more ruthless and demanding and goal-oriented, while the Sun, the very masculine principle, is moving through a very feminine sign. So I think they're in, you know, this territory where the masculine and feminine are being forced to come to some sort of balance during this time period. This is a really key component for us to all keep in mind as we get into our chat today about Neptune. So let's run down some of the connections that this full moon makes. You may have already heard me just say it. The moon is conjunct Pluto. So we enter into this new or full moon with death and rebirth on the mind or in the soul or in our unconscious. The Sun is conjunct Mars, opposite of that. And that means action, right? The Sun is the full of our egoic expression, and Mars is action, dynamic motion. So we have death and rebirth with the moon, and we have action-packed energy with the Sun. And I don't remember, I'm sure we've talked about this since you've been with me, Jason, but we often talk about the cardinal signs, meaning the signs that begin the seasons. Aries begins the spring.
Yes.
Cancer technically begins the summer, and Libra begins the fall, and Capricorn begins the winter. So we call those cardinal signs. They always represent something new that we need to take action on. And wouldn't you know it, during this particular full moon, we have the moon in Capricorn, the Sun in Cancer, Jupiter in Libra, and Uranus and Eris, both in Aries, creating a square. So we have a challenging aspect going on. And the challenge to us as mere mortals on this planet is about sort of expanding our ability to hone in on the goals that we set. Or if we're going to start something new, then it better be, in human design speak, according to your type and your strategy and your authority. Mm-hmm. In other words, moving in the right direction.
Right.
And letting go of the things standing in your way in order to be able to encapsulate and connect with that new beginning or that potential of new beginnings.
You mentioned something before, and I'm unclear because I've heard other astrologists say this. You say, for instance, with the cardinal signs, that spring starts in Aries and then all the way around to Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
When you say it starts, what do you mean it starts? Like the Sun is in Aries? And it's
Yeah, 0 degrees Aries is where the Sun is when springtime hits. So
thank you.
You got it? So
yeah,
the Sun is at...
You're the first person who's ever said that. It's like, what is that? Thank you, now I understand. You know?
Gotcha.
Awesome. You know, and by the way, apropos anybody who does want to read Initiation by Elizabeth Hayek, that very principle is denoted, and it's from those cardinal signs and the four winds that she discusses how astrology, in fact, from her point of view, came about. Okay, so talk to me then. If all of this is happening, it sounds, this full moon in Capricorn and the Cancer, I can look forward to positive energies with this?
Really can, here you are as a Capricorn, and not to give away too much about your personal life, but this week has been Hell Week for you, if you want to go back to Sunday, and pre-full moon, right? So you're in the window of what seems to be a massive change in your life, you know, both from a personal standpoint, but also there's seemingly an undercurrent of a revolution occurring even in your career. And in your professional path. So to me, when I look look at that, I see what's happening, you know, in your personal life as a Capricorn, and I see that people should already be noticing and already aware of what kind of changes are being required of them at this point in time. And, you know, I'm fully aware of it. This has been a weird, you know, interesting, good week for me as well, as these things are opening up in a way that is really stellar, if you think about it. And, you know, this isn't even a move.
Stellar.
Every time I get to use that word, it's a good day. So, you know, we are already positioned, it would seem, in some way, to come about a new change or a new direction, or at least be able to see the opening that we're meant to skitter through, right? You know, move on through. And there's a couple of other big things going on that are in support of our creating a new pathway forward. And for one thing, during this full moon, we are in what is called a fire trine, a grand fire trine. Essentially, because I know you're going to ask, that means that we have three planets in fire signs, so Leo, Sagittarius, and Aries, and they are creating a smooth working relationship with one another. And the smooth working relationship is all about creativity. It's all about passion that we have to do something in our lives. If you're passionate about tarot, then that's the opening. If you're passionate about art and music, then that's the opening. If you're passionate about, you know, doing something like cleaning houses, it doesn't matter what passion is, that's
the
opening.
Getting a television show.
There you have it. These are the things. And in this energy of a fire trine, a grand trine, craves action. It's relentless almost in this need to take some steps forward and to do something different and to make those changes. And the planets involved in this fire trine are Saturn sitting in Sagittarius, the North Node, or everybody's destiny, right now transiting through Leo, and the Uranus-Eris pseudo conjunction. They're separating at this point, but Aries. So we have revolution in Aries, we have destiny in Leo, and we have Saturn, or your due diligence, in Sagittarius. So we have we still have work to do in order to create this reality. Now,
well, it sounds like it's an incredibly charged, it doesn't sound like a passive scenario you're painting here. It sounds like we have a lot of high energy crap happening. How do we get through it? What's the best way to deal with this kind of stuff when you're getting hit in this many directions, like with a fiery burning bush? I mean, well, you're not.
So,
because that can go a couple different directions, but I mean, seriously, it's one thing to sit here and tell me about it. So what do I do with it?
Yeah. Well, let me get to that part.
All right. Hello? Hello?
Shit.
You're bleeping
as well
and blurbing
as emotional.
Out. There you go.
So as we're talking about a water trine, we're talking about the energies of Scorpio, Pisces, and Cancer. Please tell me you're hearing me.
Yes, Scorpio, Pisces, and Cancer. You just got it.
Right.
The last sentence just came in, Mama. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So if we have a water trine going on, it is perfectly apropos then for thinking that as I circuitously come around to answering your question about what do we do with that fire trine, by first.
Right.
Talking about this water energy and the energy of Neptune. Now, you know, Neptune turned retrograde 2 weeks ago, and is now in a very interesting relationship with the planet Jupiter. It's called a quincunx, basically an inconjunct, which just means they're in unalike energies. Neptune's in water, Jupiter's in air. Water is emotional and intuitive, while air is logical and mind-oriented. So we have to somehow work through the energies. We have to maybe sacrifice something or adjust our own energies to be able to swing through this relationship with Jupiter and Neptune. The reason why we have to do that is because Jupiter is showing us the pathway forward for evolution and growth, and Neptune is showing us how to use our intuition. So it involves our getting out of our heads, and as I love to say in human design, getting down lower into the body, below the neck. That means our solar plexus, perhaps. That means our sacral, perhaps, and the spleen, perhaps, if you're so designed, to get to the authority that you personally have to make decisions, which is going to be in some way, shape, or form tapping into a different mode than the mind. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So let's shift a little bit because I made some tarot associations of the moon for us during this full moon. And I got this information from a woman. Her name just went out of my head. A website on, I will find it. Hold on. Tarot. What is her name? Holy moly. I hate it when I get brain dead. Christiane is her name. Her website is Cosmic Fairies Tarot. And I just, I love her site. So some of this information is from what I gleaned from her site about the connections with the moon and the tarot. So first of all, we have the High Priestess card. She represents the moon, or the moon is, represented in the High Priestess. As well, the Two of Swords. Now this threw me because the Two of Swords is actually representing the moon in Libra. And I'm not sure why that got brought out so strongly on her website. I would love to chat with her about that. But I thought it was worth mentioning, since we do have the gas giant Jupiter sitting in Libra and bringing us some of that mind energy. And Chariot is a card in the tarot that represents Cancer, but Cancer is ruled by the moon. So we have these fun little connections. She also goes on to say the Six of Pentacles, which represents the moon in Taurus, the Four of Cups, which represents the moon in Cancer, the Nine of Wands, the moon in Sag, and the Seven of Swords, the moon in Aquarius. Does that kind of mesh with what you know to be true about the tarot?
Nope. So I'm sitting here scratching my head.
She's not just taking the moon body and saying, okay, the moon, the Chariot card, the High Priestess rules is moon. She's going on to say, like, what sign it might rule and what position of the moon that card rules. And I think that's really kind of interesting. But here's where I really got Twitter-pated, is that the moon card, according to her, is actually linked to Pisces, which gives Neptune as its ruler. And the Hanged Man represents Neptune. So we have this connection kind of that Neptune and the moon bring together in these cards. Not what you expected, eh?
Nope.
So interesting. Nope. I liked the way that this set us up for this Neptune retrograde conversation. Because as you know, I never just go looking at a planet. I've got to go to the mythology of the planet.
Yeah.
And
this
is
my favorite part.
Right. So Neptune in and of itself rules these kinds of things. Inspiration, dreams and dreaming, our psychic ability, spirituality and enlightenment. It rules the subtle universe, so kind of those realms that we can't quite pin down. It rules intuition, fantasy, unconditional love, confusion, and illusion. evolving and merging into oneness. And some of the more negative traits of Neptune, which could also be, negative traits that we might find in Pisces, are deception and deceit, addiction, guilt, disillusionment, escapism, unrealistic, and the real world versus the ideal world, and how those two come together to cause, underlying the cause of disillusionment with this planet. And as I'm looking up all this information, I realize that Neptune itself is a feminine energy, right? It's the feminine water component, and
you promised me we were going to go through the signs, the planets, and you were going to tell me what were not negative and positive, excuse me, but I was going to say yin and yang, but male and female. I still don't know what those are.
We have Neptune as the feminine, right? Feminine planet ruling a feminine sign, Pisces. So what we see is then that Neptune is feminine. So why is there a masculine figure in Neptune, the god Neptune, and the god Poseidon that are rulers of this, or that this planet is attached to? So I started looking at the Neptune myth. Ha ha. So here we have the Neptune myth beginning with the waters of creation, where a water mother figure births the world. And so I'm going back here to Mesopotamian times, right? In the Mesopotamian myths in Sumeria, we have Nammu, who is the mother who gave birth to heaven and earth. We have the Babylonian goddess Tiamat, who gave birth to humanity. We have in Egyptian time, in the Egyptian world, the goddess Nun or Nennu, who was the goddess of the primordial waters.
Ooh,
right? We often think of the primordial waters as where we were birthed out of, right? The primordial waters, life sprung
soup
onto the planet. Soup, exactly. If you go back to the Celtic times, you see that Danu was a goddess, the mythic goddess of creation, who ruled all of the waters. And out of the waters of her creation came the planet Earth and humanity. Hindu, the Mahakali and the Nitya Kali are goddesses that ruled. Mahakali ruled mighty time, and Nitya Kali, endless time. So
now,
we
mighty
still
time
have,
and endless time?
Yes, they're like bookends, right? There's the goddess of
mighty time.
Mighty time meaning all of time.
Oh,
right?
I've never heard that expression.
The timing
okay.
of, yeah. Well, not my expression. That comes from the book I was using as research here.
Okay.
And the Nitya Kali, endless time, right? So get this forever sort of sense, going on. Time is endless. And then we get to the favorite people of yours, the Greeks. Now, in the Greek mythology, in archaic Greek mythology, the water goddess or Neptune precursor was a goddess named Eurynome. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. E-U-R-Y-N as in Nancy, O-M as Mary, E.
You absolutely are.
So she superseded in time by the masculine Poseidon in Greek mythology and the masculine Neptune in Roman mythology. So I think what we see here is we've got a timekeeper here. A timekeeper, we can see the transition between when the feminine energy held sway on the planet and when the masculine energy took over, where we had a change in what we could call an eon, a sort of time period where the fundamental energy shifts. and the feminine is kind of superseded by the masculine. And the planet Neptune was no exception in being named a masculine god, being overrunning or overlaying the feminine goddess. So now we can see perhaps in this overlay, the cause in our difficulty perhaps in using our Neptunian intuitive gifts or our psychic abilities, right? Because at that one time, as we shifted out of the feminine, which favored our using our intuition, that favored our delving into the psychic and dissolving into oneness or merging into oneness, and where the masculine shift took over, and we were now having to rely more on the logical or on the mind, masculine left brain side of our brain, left brain, logical, masculine.
Right.
Washing away the more feminine, psychic, right-brained energy. So how does that all relate to this Neptune retrograde? Well, I'm getting to that. So when we, long way around, I told you, this is the long way around a bit, because when the planet Neptune goes retrograde, what we see is a throwback to our favoring the more intuitive psychic gifts that we come to this planet with in the beginning. And so retrograde is that time where we get to listen to that inner voice, where we can act from intuition, where our dreams take on a more mythic quality or a more psychic quality, and we get to tap into that psychic knowing in a way that if we, for example, don't tap into that, we find ourselves, Neptune goes back to forward motion, regretting that we didn't listen to our intuition when Neptune was in retrograde motion, which is crazy. That won't happen until November, so we've got several months here to really tap in and listen to our inner voice, to our intuitive impulses. Now, I'm going to do a little disclaimer here because, of course, I also do human design astrology. So that means you are in accordance with your type, strategy, and authority, and not doing things counter to that just because you have an intuitive impulse to take action, but you're emotionally defined, doesn't mean that you listen to the intuition and ignore the emotional energy. Does that make sense?
120,000. We have two callers, two of our favorites, to be honest with you. We should just bring them both on. But I think you can see what I've written in the queue. And she's one of our favorites. And I think Miss, I can't say it. I think she's on the line and she'd like a reading or she'd like to say hello.
Is that Debbie?
The one and only Debbie Big Tits.
I wondered if you were going to say it, Jason. I just wondered if you were
going to
say it.
Yeah, I got it. She's just a delicious, delicious morsel of woman. Oh, I had the pleasure of doing a reading with her, and oh my God, what energy. Where the hell are you in this at this point in the world, and is it swarmingly hot where you're at?
Oh my God, it's stifling. We've been having it hot and humid, and it's been with heat index like 103 to 108. It's just brutal.
And we're all stuck these days.
Florida, Panama City,
Florida.
Florida. Uh-huh.
Yeah. My, what do you call it? The guy that I just had to send on his way to take care of some stuff is moved to Ocala, and he called me then, and he's like, Daddy, I need gills to live down here. He said, I'm Puerto Rican. He said, I'm Puerto Rican, but this is ridiculous. And I just laughed. So anyway, what can we do for you today, Debbie?
Oh, I'm going home to see my dad in about next Thursday, and there's a lot of Janet knows stuff that's going on. And I'm also going to my 45th, Jesus, I'm old, class reunion, which I'm looking forward to. And I think I just wanted to know how everything else is going. As I spoke with my dad earlier this week, and I thought for sure that my sister had poisoned his mind because he brought up that, I hope you're not going to come home and argue with me. He was talking about the last time I had an argument, told me it was 25 years ago, and he's still hanging on to that.
Debbie, my dearest and dearest lady, I'm trying hard to hear the question through the anger. So could you do me a favor? Could you put the gun down for a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you fucking ask me a question so I can pull some cards?
I just want to know how the week is going to go.
All right.
When do you leave, Debbie?
Ten of Cups.
Thursday, and I actually changed my ticket. I'm not flying into Boston. I'm going to fly into Providence. Decided if I'm going to do things different, the way things have been, then I'm going to try and go a different place, and I'm staying at a hotel for the first 4 days, so, and then I'll go
gotcha.
See my dad. Well, I'll see him as soon as I get there, but with everything that's just, it's the problem.
When you're done with the hotel, would you be going to stay with your dad?
Yes, I'll be staying with my dad for like 3 nights. He's my dad's 91. He's actually getting closer to 92 now. So, you know,
who usually takes care of him?
After he takes care of himself, he lives in a huge house, big three huge yards, mows his own yard, plows his own snow.
All right. Well, for whatever it's worth, I pulled the Ten of Cups, and it is the most glorious, most happy. There's a Mediterranean expression that says you were born with your ass to the moon, which means that you are extremely lucky. This cup, this card, if you look at it, is gorgeous, gorgeous seashells that are gold, and they're filled with godlight, and they're overflowing from the top all the way down. Ten of Cups. It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to go even one step further. I would love, please call me and let me know, but I have this weird feeling that your father is going to be giving you some jewelry, because this card has a luxury aspect to it that usually denotes some kind of luxury or being bequeathed or given something. So don't let that throw you. Maybe Daddy Pupukaka will have a nice little gold, you know, bullion somewhere that he'd like to throw your way, okay?
Yep.
Excellent. I'm going to go in the background and see what I have cooking here. Janet, if you wanted to continue on or you wanted to take another guest, let me know.
Yeah, I'm actually going to – Debbie, I'm pulling up your chart here for a second. I just find you. There you are. You wander around in my program here. I just want to look because Jason said that about getting something for dad. So I want to see what's going on in the chart. So hold on while I open this up. And it's okay. So interestingly enough, there is quite a bit of energy moving through your eighth house. In most charts would be.
I got Janet. Are you there? I got cut off completely. I haven't heard anything.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Now I can hear you. Yeah, I didn't hear anything.
Yeah,
oh, gosh.
I saw it flip over to for just a moment. She only missed like two or three sentences.
Yeah,
okay.
This is going to piss me off that we can't keep people in the right spot. This blog talk is really getting to me. So, okay, as we're looking at did I say that out loud? I'm so sorry.
Tempest, you're just a little damn tempest in a teapot, aren't you, darling? Love
okay,
it.
So,
that's right. Give him hell, Debbie. Myrna. Give him hell, Myrna.
I'm usually nuts, but now I'm getting to the point. Like, it used to be the chat room would work. Right now, there's nobody in the chat room. Now, I find that hard to believe when there used to be anywhere from 8 to 20. Yeah, I don't know what that is all about. So that pisses me off because there's nobody in the
Hello?
Chat room. Why
Hello?
Should I, you know?
Oh, man.
Did I get cut off? Oh, no. Damn it.
Now I can't get into the chat room any longer.
Right. You can't get into the chat room any longer. And
I'm sitting here. I'm sitting here, Janet, and I'm trying to screen. I'm listening to you bitch about Blog Talk. I'm really trying not to. I just peed an inch because I was laughing so hard. I just peed an inch because I went down and I'm trying to screen people in the background. So I hit over to the screen button and I can still hear you yakking on. And I'm like, what? I wait, you're supposed to go away and I'm supposed to be able to hear other people. And that, so I can hear your conversation. I can hear your conversation. Not if it's working.
Debbie, what you don't know happened is that and somehow the buttons keep switching you back to standby, which means like you can't really hear me. And there you went again, right? Debbie, you could probably not hear me at all right now.
Now I can hear you again.
Yeah. It's just, this is really effed up. So I'm going to have to complain. Let me see if I can get this out.
Okay.
No, because this happened behind the scenes before we even started the show today, and so it's a little irritating.
I thought maybe
but...
it was the three of us's energy.
No. Anyway, quickly, before you appear on me again, what I was saying to you is that I wanted to validate what Jason was saying as far as your dad maybe bequeathing you something, because it got me thinking that I would see that in your astrology chart in an eighth house sort of situation, where the eighth house being the house of inheritances or gifts that you receive by bequeath. And so your eighth house actually has quite a bit of energy in it. The sun right now is moving through your eighth house, the planet Mars and the planet Mercury, all three in your eighth house. So I would not doubt, and this is not necessarily like your dad dying and leaving you things. That's not what I mean here.
Right.
But this is you possibly receiving something that you didn't expect to receive. And that's, you know, basically taking up the entire trip while you're gone. So there you have it. Yeah, it is pretty interesting.
Thanks so much. That makes me feel a lot better because I've been kind of on edge about all of this. So thank you so much. That makes me feel great.
Yeah. All right, sweetie. Let me just throw this out here. I know, and I don't want to share the whole thing across the world with what's going on in your family, but I know you and your sister are having some issues. Well, guess what planet's in the house of your siblings? Neptune. So there's a lot of disillusionment going on. Not anything is clear around this. And I don't know that it's going to clear up for a while. And I know that, you know, she was pretty clear about when she thought it would clear up. But I want you to understand that this is an unconditional, this is a time for you to apply unconditional love to your sister. Okay. That doesn't mean you accept what she's done or who she is,
right.
But
my mother always taught me to do the right thing. And I just sent her all kinds of cards and her birthday presents and everything else. Just cause she that way doesn't mean I have to be.
Exactly. Okay, sweetie. Just wanted to make sure you got that. I'm going to put you back in the queue. And
all right,
love you too. I'll talk to you soon. Hold on now.
Okay, bye-bye.
So let's see. Jason is still screening a call. So I'm going to actually bring in my new friend, Teresa, here. I love new friends. Hello, Teresa. And I'm so
Hi,
glad
sweetie,
you were able
you?
To call in. I'm very good. Thank you. Teresa, as you listeners may recall from last week, called in and we took her at the very last like 4 minutes of the show and invited her to call back in today because I wasn't able to really give her reading that was really much worse because of the time constraint that I was under. And so what I wanted to do right now is give her a little bit of a reading. And what was really interesting about Miss Teresa here is that she also had experienced a near-death experience, for lack of a better word for it. It gives me an opportunity to pull a chart for not only her birthday, her actual birthday, but also her rebirth day. So we can get an idea of if maybe there's an effect when someone actually has a near-death experience, that how does it affect their charts? And, you know, Teresa, this was really kind of a fun experience. And I've done this before for people, and it kind of wigs me out to see how their lives really do change based on the fact of the rebirth. So here's what happens. In your birth chart, you have a Capricorn rising. And that Capricorn rising then has Pluto sitting on top of it at the moment, which would mean there's a radical, perhaps empowering rebirth of a sort happening to you from the birth chart point of view. When we do it from your rebirth point of view, what's happening now is Pluto is affecting your second house of money, empowering you to begin changing the way that you're earning money. And I, to me, that's fascinating in light of a conversation you and I had yesterday about you had just in an offhanded manner said about how you'd lost something like $3,000 a month in income. And I want you to understand that that loss is all part of a bigger plan to empower you to be earning money in a way that's really correct or well-suited to you. So this isn't you being punished or anything, you know, horrible. This is a movement, if you will, toward being empowered in the way that you earn a living from here on out. And it's really kind of interesting to see how that works. It's empowering you as an individual. Your rising sign then changes in the rebirth to Sagittarius. And of course, Saturn is moving through Sagittarius. And at your rebirth, which happened to be, you guys aren't going to believe this. Jason, you're not going to believe this. Her rebirth day is actually my birthday, June 19th of 1984. Her daughter's birthday is also June 19th of 1988. So we have this really interesting connection. Yeah, isn't that?
She was never. I was never supposed to be able to walk again or have kids after they brought me back.
Right, and the way her rebirth was at the was because she was involved in a very bad accident, and was like she said, not supposed to be able to walk again. It was nothing, you know, not an illness. It was actually an accident, which, as we all know, often accidents are those wake-up calls from the universe, right? Those things that shake us up.
Amen.
And,
amen.
Yep. Jason knows this well. So in your rebirth chart, then, there is a tremendous focus on the first house. You have a first house Uranus, Neptune, Jupiter, the galactic center are all in that first house for you, which means that the shift in focus from your birth to your rebirth is all about you, right? Empowering you, growing in an evolutionary way that you could not perhaps have done in the birth chart the way it was. Like perhaps you had grown to the point that the most point that you could with the birth day and needed the rebirth day to be able to empower you to continue your growth trajectory. I hope that makes sense, because that's what it feels like happened here.
Yes,
but
exactly.
Now, in your one of the questions you had asked me about in our conversation before the show was about goals, business goals, and you know, collaborating with others. Like, what is this all about with business? So here's a little fascinating connection to your rebirth chart, and that is that in the rebirth chart, Jupiter is now transiting through your 10th house of career and profession. Now, remember, from the very beginning of this particular Jupiter transit, I've been telling people that there were these C words that represented this transition or this transit of Jupiter in Libra, and that was co-creation, collaboration, and cooperation.
Yeah.
And so here you have this word that you throw out to me about collaboration, and then I see it being presented in your astrology chart as the road for which you are meant to grow and evolve. And that is going to continue now up until we get to the beginning of October. So keeping that in mind, then, any opportunities that come along for you to collaborate or co-create or cooperate with or create a relationship with other people is really meant to position you in a way to grow. So that, to me, was fascinating as well. So we've covered the money piece. The money piece is being transitioned right now to be more empowering and in a way that's more empowered for you. Goals and business goals, I think, are also a part of Jupiter in the 10th house. You know, next year, where the whole focus shifts for everybody is Jupiter into Scorpio, and that puts it in your 11th house of goals and vision. Like, what do I envision for myself? What's the bigger picture that's going on for me? So I want you to keep that in mind. Because in human design, and I don't know how much you've ever listened to me when I'm talking about human design, but Jason, what is it I always say that your focus is on?
Sex.
Human being? No, not yours personally. The your job. Your job as a human being is the what? Not to figure out how things are going to happen.
Correct.
But
not
the what.
When, where. Right.
Mm-hmm. Not the when, the where, the who, the how, but the what. What do I want? So I might begin that focusing now on what you want. And I think you're there. I think you're getting there. Now let's take a look at the radio show you were doing called Breath of Tara. And
right.
That would be a show. The radio show is something I would see in your third house. And the third house is the house of communication, and for you, that's got Neptune, which is what the show was all about, moving through it. And so, and your Neptune right now is conjunct the moon in your rebirth chart. So there's real compassion, creative, and empathic feeling here that tells me that you'll know when the right time is to start this show, when it's the right time for you to go back to the show. And it may be right now, but I think it's probably not maybe right now, because I feel like there's probably a bit of a shadow here that you need to deal with, because the planet or the point, the black moon Lilith, is right next to the moon in your rebirth chart. And that puts you in a shadow of surrendering to a higher power, right? The fear that you're not supported by the universe, where now you need to learn about having faith that you are supported in the universe. So however long it takes you to come to terms with that shadow is when this radio show will relaunch, and it will be a sort of natural flow and an intuitive knowing. My guess is it happens sometime before November. So if that helps, great. If it confuses, I'm sorry.
It does.
But I think that gives
a lot.
I think in this, your rebirth chart shows me that the next revolution going on in your life is about joy and is about creativity. It's about taking that spark of creative energy that the fire trine is taking us through in this full moon and putting, you know, some energy into it. And not just some energy, but your focus and your energy. Yeah. Yes.
I have Rachelle who's piping in the background. She has a pertinent question. So I'm going to bring Rachelle in because she'd like to ask you and Teresa a question.
Okay. Bring her in.
Hey, Ray Ray.
Hey, y'all. How are you? I was
good.
Listening to all of that. And, you know, you mentioned Teresa having this accident and it was a rebirth. And I never really heard rebirth in that and used it this way. So I was wondering, is there a way that we avoid these rebirths, or are they inevitable? Like, do some people just have them, or all of us have the potential of having them if we don't follow our path?
You know,
sweetheart, I died at the hospital and I came back. That's just talking about rebirth.
Well, yeah, that part, but also that sometimes we just have traumatic moments that also stop us. It may not be to the extent of actually, you know, dying and coming back, or not going, I like to say. And
I know, it seems rather severe, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, like they say, sometimes you need the house to drop on you.
Oh, yeah. God damn it.
Yeah,
okay,
but
Dorothy.
You know, Dorothy. But instead of this being punitive, I kind of feel like this is a divine appointment, like a built-in exit window that she chose to stay and go on into this new way of being. And I think, you know, at this point, Teresa, you had at the point of your accident, you had a choice. You were hovering above your body. You were looking down and knew what doctors were doing. And you were seeing yourself literally dead on the table. And your choice was, do I stay or do I go?
My choice was also,
that is a song.
Do I want to live the rest of my life if I came back? Do I want to live the rest of my life being given, owned by, governed by the restoration of humanity? So I was given a mission, and it was real clear. Have I done it perfect?
No. And is that something that could have been read in her chart?
Well, I don't. You know, that's a really good question, Rachel. And in the confines of a radio show, what I would have really liked to have done is gone to her to the date of the accident in her birth chart. Mm-hmm. And to see what was building up at that time. And that, you know, maybe we take this into another show next week, because I know we're getting low on time here. And, you know, take a look at what was happening that day in the old chart that maybe prompted this switch into a new life path.
Mm, okay.
And I mean, that's well worth looking at.
Because sometimes I know I can – you know, need to be pushed over the edge a little, pushed a little to do the things I need to do. So I don't know if you keep doing the things you need to do, does it, you know, stave that off? Or is somebody, some people, like you said, just have appointments and that's the way it happens for them.
Yeah.
I would say in
something like this, it is an appointment. This is a divine appointment that was agreed time and all of that ahead of birth, you know, that you agreed to do this, or that she agreed to do this. It's
always
fascinating to look at. The charts are just fascinating to see, and All right, so I also see, Teresa, that I have a friend of yours in the queue as well. Shall I go ahead and have Jason bring him in, and we can talk to him for a bit?
Sure.
Okay, so on the line with us now is Joey. Hello, Joey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. A little bit tired, but it's a go weekend. All fun things, I swear. I just haven't had a chance to tune into my own self.
Did you have a specific question? Okay.
Yeah, it's a simple little question. I finished building a studio in my house to rent it out, and I keep guiding that I'm going to see a man renting it, but I'm wondering if I'm accurate. I need some kind of confirmation. And is there something that I'm doing that's creating an obstacle from getting a renter in there? I do multiple things. So basically, I do psychic work, but I would like a little base work while I go out. Mm-hmm. I do my work socializing. I'm a Libra, so obviously I socialize. So I actually do better work when I take my phone with me and do the readings wherever I'm at. So, but I would like the base say, and I was trying to figure out what's going on with this rental. I'm trying to get it done. Well, it just was finished in May, so it hasn't been that long. that I've been advertising it online only in my referrals.
Here's what I want you to do is, for one thing, as a Libra, you've got to be aware that Jupiter is moving through your sign right now. And okay. In the sign of Libra is your fifth house, which is the house of creativity. It is a house that is begging for you to go after what you desire, to claim your what. If you were listening a little bit ago, and I think you mm-hmm. were actually, you probably heard
yes.
me say that humanity's job is to claim the what, not the how is it going to happen, but what do I want? And that's where your strength lies right now. Right? That's where growth happens for you as a human being and in getting what you want, claiming how you want this to go. I want this to happen, and name the specific things that you want. I don't know who you want to live there. Is it a long-term renter? Is it someone who, you know, is going to treat your rental house as if it were his own? Is it a male? Is it a female? You know, claim what you want. And
I like that. The confusion has been that basically I've had women, and I have nothing against women, but they seem to be a little bit more picky when it comes to decoration and all that kind of
that's
stuff.
True.
Men seem to just have less needs, and I can only I can provide as much as I can right now until I start charging more. So
mm-hmm.
I understand. I'm a very creative soul, and right now I've been
mm-hmm.
splitting myself in different places 3 days out of the week creating.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come back. But I understand about asking for what I want. I usually, like Teresa laughs at me because I always tell her, when I get mad and I just slap on the counter, I go, okay, there's going to be a refrigerator in this house today. That's when it happens.
Yeah.
And,
exactly. Right, because
we have the counter joke. Slap the counter.
Yeah, when I slap that counter, I go, okay, fuck it, there's going to be a refrigerator here now. That's when it happens.
Right.
I would
so
like to be gentle
thing.
And say, okay, little angels, you know what I mean? Okay, little angels. No, that doesn't work for me.
Right. Now, I also want you to understand that you are halfway through a growth cycle right now as it relates to that
mm-hmm.
planet Jupiter. So when you're
mm-hmm.
evolving,
okay.
you are halfway through whatever showed up 6 years ago in your life is what you're now growing through. And I have a feeling that it has to do with what you envision for yourself, what you allow for yourself, and how your mind gets involved and undermines your ability to create. So here's what I want you to do about that. Claim
okay.
what? Joey, claim your what? Whatever it is that you want. And every time
claim
that your
what?
Mind gets in there and wants to monkey with it, I want you to go back to your what. So when your mind starts to say, yeah, when is this person going to show up? Well, how is that going to happen? I want you to say, whoop, stop. Forget that. Get back to the what. This is my what, and this is what I'm creating. So that
okay.
you are in control of your mind and not letting your mind take control and run off with you.
Okay.
Okay
so
right.
In the process, the
and so
process
your what,
change.
So
okay,
your
so
what becomes your what becomes your bread and butter at that point. And then people don't tell you you live in the past. You get closer to friends and family. More opportunities come your way. Let go of the outcome and enjoy the ride that you're creating.
Exactly.
You're part of what you're creating.
Okay. In other words, kind
so
of what I did
it
now
as a,
with, or,
as a person.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, yeah,
in other
yeah.
words, what I just did on the 4th of July, I was kind of trying to control the situation, and I told my mind, shut the fuck up and just listen to your heart. And I had a great time.
There you go.
Is that what it's all about?
Be kinder to yourself. You don't have to say, you know, shut the F up to yourself.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
But
I know.
Every time
okay,
your,
I know.
But every time your mind does try to get away with you, I want you, because only you are in control of your mind. Your mind is not in control of you. You are in control of your
okay.
mind. So you bring
all
your
right.
mind back to the thoughts about what it is you're trying to create. If what you're trying to create is a gentleman who absolutely loves that house just the way it is and is going to take good care of it and pay rent on time, then that's what you bring your thoughts back to. Not the when,
mm-hmm.
not the how, not the who, okay?
Okay.
Or the how much.
All right.
You already know that. You established that one time.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
So
don't change your price because, you know, some old lady shows up and tells you, oh, you have a Flower of Life mandala on your wall. I don't know. I'm not sure. You know
yeah.
what?
Yeah,
next.
Yeah, yeah.
Next.
So
it wasn't
so
for
people,
her. No.
I only have about 17 seconds left here of airtime. So I want to, Jason, and I want to thank all of my listeners, and thank you to the people who called in today that we've gotten to talk to, and that would be Debbie and Rachel and Teresa and Joey, and I see you there, Michelle. Hello. I hope everybody has a very good day and have a stellar week.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining me today on Living Astrology. Living Astrology is part of the Empower You Media Network. You can find out more by going to www.living-astrology.com or by going to www.empoweryoumedia.com. If you would like to find out when our shows are airing, you can follow us at Blog Talk Radio under Living Astrology. Please consider liking us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Living Astrology and also Empower You Media. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye for now. Have a stellar week.